Good morning and welcome to the Communication Corner. You're on WBCX 89.1 FM, the voice of Brunel, Brunel University, that is. As I said, you're in the Communication Corner, broadcasted every Tuesday morning live at 9 a.m., rebroadcasted every Thursday morning at 6 a.m. I'm your host, Dr. Bill Lampton. We talk about the topics that you have been talking about the most. And I'm very happy today to welcome back the program producer, station general manager, Christina Rhodes, and I consider her my co-host. Christina, how was Memorial Day weekend?
It was great, Bill. Good morning. Wonderful weekend. Got a lot of relaxing and resting done. I need a lot of that these days.
Oh, yes. With your schedule.
I do. And so we had a great weekend. My husband and I did a lot of kicking back and some stuff around the house. And then yesterday, you'll never believe what we did.
What was that?
Well, you probably have seen or figured it out already, because our other guest that we have in the studio with us this morning that's always here is my companion dog, Chevy. And he goes everywhere with me, has been with me for the last 9 years, and listeners have probably heard us mention him before. And Chevy got a haircut. Chevy got his summer haircut.
Quite noticeable.
And his whole life, Bill, we've been taking him to have groomers do it. You know, that's the easiest way to have it done, and taking him to go see different groomers. And this time, Jacob and I decided we want to save the money and buy some clippers and use them again and do it ourselves. So yesterday, my husband and I took 8 hours to shave and groom our 100-pound Dutch Shepherd, Chevy.
Well, this was no quick snip and clip, was it?
No, we are serious. He has to look good. He's a professional. He's got to look good.
Oh, that's right.
But it turned out great. We had a good bonding experience with Chev.
Chevy is beloved by so many, and I can still remember just a couple of weeks back when you and I went to Sardis Elementary School, Enrichment School, it's called. They had been studying companion dogs, and you presented a program about what it is to have a companion dog, how to train them, what they do for you.
He was a big hit there as well.
Oh, you and Chevy were both big hits there. Well, my Memorial Day weekend was a very good one as well. For a change, it didn't include golf, and that's because my daughter from Savannah came over with her son and grandson, and we had some wonderful family time. In fact, yesterday afternoon, Sandra and I took that 7-year-old granddaughter to swim, and that was a lot of fun, too.
Mm, that's wonderful, Bill. Nothing like family time.
It's great. It's great. Well, speaking of family, we think of ourselves as a family at WBCX, and so I want to give another word of thanks to Chet White for filling in last week as the program producer in your absence. Chet has served WBCX very well for so long, and I really appreciated what he did for the Communication Corner last week in your absence.
We're so happy to have Chet as a part of, like you said, we are a family here, and we're happy to have Chet as a part of this family, and he helps us out a lot around here.
Well, our guest today is someone I almost consider family, because Gina Carr, I refer to her quite seriously as Genius Gina. Gina and I have known each other for several years, and in a moment, I'm going to welcome her to introduce our topic. Let me begin by saying that I'm sure every one of you who is listening has wondered about the best ways to start a business or to multiply your client list for your existing business. Certainly by now, the vast majority of you, our listeners, are using some of the internet business opportunities that have emerged within the last few years. Yet, we know we could all benefit from an expert's guidance on how to use them more effectively. Here are some of the topics that puzzle us. How much time should we spend daily on what's called the social media? Which one of the social media tools deserve most of our attention, and which one's the least? What are some time savings steps and processes that are simple to learn and will boost our results tremendously? Also, for years, online newsletters were the way to spread the message about our business. Are they still useful? What can we do to keep our readers attracted and interested? To answer these and other vital questions, we're extremely fortunate to have Gina Carr as our guest. Gina resides and works from Orlando, Florida now, but she's a longtime Atlanta resident, had a business and a longtime life there before moving to Orlando. So we consider her local, even though Orlando can claim her for tax purposes, I suppose. For several years, I've watched Gina emerge to the forefront of professionals who help other professionals succeed. So please join me in welcoming Gina Carr as our guest in the Communication Corner. Good morning, Gina.
Well, good morning, Bill. Good morning, Christina. Happy to join you today.
Well, we're delighted, and I think back to how you and I met as we both attended the Georgia chapter of the National Speakers Association.
Yes, that's a wonderful group. I've been involved with that since 2005, and I jokingly but somewhat seriously say that almost every good thing in my life has come from something related to the Georgia chapter of the National Speakers Association. Just incredible people like yourself and incredible opportunities. It's just been a wonderful part of my life.
It's a wonderful organization for aspiring speakers and for veteran speakers as well.
Yes, that's one of the beautiful things about it. There's opportunity for people who are just learning. There's opportunity for people who are experienced speakers, and I'm so appreciative that the more experienced speakers like yourself do come back to the chapter meetings and contribute and help the aspiring speakers learn a lot more.
One of the things I'd like to say about you at the outset, and this is a wonderful lesson for anybody who wants to expand their business or start a new business, one of the most impressive factors about you, Gina, and there are many, one of the most impressive to me is how you are constantly on the lookout for more training and continuing education yourself. You're widely recognized as a trainer and an educator and a facilitator and a coach. And yet, as long as I have known you, your calendar is filled not only with clients, but it's also filled with continuing education opportunities for you. You want to do what Stephen Covey calls, you continually sharpen the saw, don't you?
Yeah, I guess that's why that particular chapter was one of my favorites when I read that book so many years ago and have read it many times since. I am definitely a committed lifelong learner. That's extremely important to me. I just like to... It's what I like to do. Some people say, oh, you got to go to another seminar. Like, no, I love to go to another seminar. I get to go to another seminar. And I love the exchange with the people there. That's a very important part of learning for me at live events. But I do a number of events, that are not live and that are just virtual events. And I really do love learning new things. It's what gets me excited when I'm working on something and I say, oh, there's a new way to do that, or I'm training actively in a session. I love learning how to train better, and I love learning the new material. So, yes, you definitely hit on one of my passions.
Well, not only do we come back recharged, naturally we're highly motivated when we're with a lot of other people who want to expand their learning opportunities. In addition to that, we come back re-equipped. As you say, we know things now after having attended these seminars that we would not know otherwise. And I know that you spent the last 3 days, as I noticed in the social media, at a seminar by Armand Morin. And my gosh, you've been to his seminars enough, you could probably teach them yourself.
Well, that's so interesting. But interesting that you'd say that. But like most good trainers and people who do events, they have, Armin keeps it moving. There were a couple of things this time that I had seen before, but many of them were brand new, including a special session on Facebook where he literally created a 100,000 plus fan page, fans of a new Facebook page. I'm sorry, I'm a little tongue-tied here. Within 3 days, within less than 48 hours. And so that's I consider myself a social media expert. That's something I had never thought could be done. And so I was amazed.
That's what makes opening ourselves to other people who can become our mentors. There's a fellow you know that I know named Terry Brock who's very fond of saying all of us know more than any one of us.
Well, that's a very good point. So it's always good to bring in people through mastermind groups, through training sessions where you're learning from other people, and that's that's a very good point. You don't know what you don't know, and then you can bring in people who know something and learn from them.
Gina, to move directly into our topic, what is it that prompted you quite early in your career to embrace the social media 100% and become a leader, even, frankly, a guru, while many other professional people merely dabbled or even stayed away? What told you early on that the social media were worth your attention, your time, your investment of your dollars to try to learn it?
Well, as with many of the things that I pursue, my eyes were first really opened when I was at a seminar and heard someone speaking about the power of Twitter, mainly at that time, but the power of Twitter and somewhat the power of Facebook. This was, you know, going back a few years, so Facebook still was predominantly a kid's kind of thing, but increasingly becoming more business-like and more for adults. So there's a combination of a few things. Number one, I saw the power of it as a marketing medium. I, at that time, had started a chain of community magazines there in Atlanta. Around Town Community Magazines is what it was called at the time. And I really knew very well the power of print and the power of, advertising. I had had a community TV show, actually a little cable TV show for a few years there in the late 90s. And so I understood that medium as well. And I just saw that this was an incredibly powerful communications vehicle for businesses, for people as well. But where the people are, that's where the businesses want to be. That's where sponsors want to be, and people want to get their word out. So I definitely saw the power of the business medium. Number two, I realized that it's all about people, and it's all about communication. And certainly I know that's something that you are very passionate about. I mean, that's what your whole life's work has been built around.
So yes, yes. Mm-hmm.
Communication is incredibly important, and it's a great – I just recognized that it was a great way to communicate with people and to be able to dig deeper to people. I do really just have a passion for people, and the fact that I can meet, let's say, Bill Lampton, and I can meet you at a meeting, but I can go away from that meeting and I can look you up on Facebook and I say, oh my goodness, well, there's his wife, and he has daughters, and he has grandchildren, and he loves golf, and he lives in Gainesville, Georgia, and I lived in Gainesville, Georgia for a little while, so I see all these things that we have in common. So it just really magnifies the ability to have a relationship with someone. And that's just the people person in me coming out that loves that.
Something I would add to that, Gina. Yes, we can do that after we've met someone, but one real advantage for those of us who are very heavily into marketing for our business is we can do that very informal, easy research before we meet somebody. If we know we're going to a function and there's going to be somebody there that we really want to know, we can get all that information about them ahead of time, can't we?
That's a very good point and an incredibly powerful point. I remember a few years ago going to the National Speakers Association event in Phoenix, and I just happened to meet some people. Literally, I had never met them in person, but we started chatting on Twitter, recognizing that we were going to the event. And from that, I said, you know what? We need to have a little tweet. It's called a tweet up when you get together with your Twitter friends. And so I got with the hotel and basically scheduled and told everybody, okay, Saturday night, 8 p.m., we're going to have a tweet up for all the NSA speaker people that like to tweet. And so we had a grand time, and by the time we got there, we really did almost already know each other because I had seen people, I'd met people in Canada, I'd met people in Colorado, California, all over, that I really felt like I kind of knew because I'd met them on Twitter, I dug into and seen their website. If they had Facebook, I saw that. So by the time we actually did get together, it's like we're all friends.
Excellent example. Gina, some people may have tuned in late and not know who we're talking with and where we are. So I'm going to ask Christina to let us know.
Yes, Bill, you're tuned into the Communication Corner, listeners, broadcasted every Tuesday morning at 9 a.m. on WBCX 89.1 FM, The Voice of Brenau. Your host, as always, is Dr. Bill Lampton. In the Communication Corner, we talk about the topics you have been talking about the most. Dr. Bill brings in experts who give us vital information that help us professionally and personally. Today's guest is Gina Carr from Orlando, Florida, sharing her strategies for starting your own business and for making an existing business flourish. She is recognized widely for her business building expertise. And the podcast of this interview will appear on Dr. Bill's blog, along with Gina Carr's contact information and a photo of Bill with Gina. Here's the web address for that blog, thecompletecommunicator.com. Again, if you're interested in writing that down, the web address for Dr. Bill's blog is thecompletecommunicator.com.
Thank you, Christina. Let me mention to our listeners that the photo that's going to appear on the blog has a scene with me enjoying a nice lunch in a restaurant with Gina. And what was behind that, Gina, at that time being based in Atlanta, had come to Gainesville. I interviewed her about one of her many topics of expertise, and we're going to talk about that in a minute. I interviewed her on the topic of tribes. In fact, the YouTube video is titled, Gina Carr Describes the Benefit of Tribes. Any listener can look that up by typing in Gina Carr's name, C-A-R-R, or typing in my name, Bill Lampton. Now, Gina, back to our social media. I enjoy so much following you on Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, because you give so much valuable information there. I'd like to explore that a little bit with you. There's a comparison you make of the major social media. You say Twitter is very much like a cocktail party. Facebook is like a pub. And LinkedIn is a formal business environment. Elaborate on that for us, please.
Yes, I share that because I think that really does help you understand, because the mediums are very different, and you will use each one depending on your business strategy, depending on your purpose. You may use all three, or you may end up using just one. So when you think of Twitter, yes, I call it the world's largest cocktail party, and basically you sort of are there. If you think about a cocktail party, you meet a lot of people. You generally don't just sort of camp out and hang out with the same person the entire cocktail party. You meet a few, you move around, and that's the way Twitter is. Facebook, definitely more casual, a lot more long-term sort of people that you know better, perhaps. And obviously you can have a longer conversation. Twitter, you can have 140 characters at the most, and Facebook, it's 420 for a post.
And the 140 characters comes out to only two lines. That's really all that is. So you have to be very succinct, and absolutely, Twitter will not allow one more character than that 140. You absolutely are limited.
Right, and as we say in a lot of us in social media say, well, 120 is the new 140. I almost never tweet 140 characters anymore because I want my tweets to be retweeted. Retweeted, that's hard to say. And so I always leave enough room for people to retweet them. So if you want yours retweeted, you need to go ahead and do that. Only put 120 characters in there.
Let's, good point. Let's illustrate what we mean. Some people who haven't worked in the social media might not know what retweeting is. Tell us what that is, please.
Well, that's when you're on Twitter and you've seen something that you really agree with. So let's say that I'm on there and that Bill Lampton, who goes by the Twitter handle at Doc Lampton, happens to tweet something, let's say, communication is the most important skill you need to master for business success. And I say, well, that's cool. I agree with that. That's really important. So I don't have to retype that. And if I did retype that, obviously that's sort of taking his idea and stealing it. So Twitter has a nice little function called retweet. And you just punch a couple of, do a click, and it says retweet to your followers? Yes. And so it takes what you said, it adds a little RT for retweet, which we know in Twitter speak, that's what that means. It has your Twitter handle again, showing that it was from you, and then it automatically puts in what you said. And so it's me endorsing what you said. And the more retweets you have, that's a good thing, because then more people, then people who never have heard of you, you will be then what's in called my Twitter stream. And then people will see you and say, oh, I like what he's saying. And then they'll click over and want to follow you so that they can see more of the things that you say.
Then likewise, Gina, I will be grateful that you have retweeted my tweet. So I'm going to be on the lookout for something you've said that's valuable that I will retweet. So there's a residual on this, isn't there?
Well, there is, and people say, oh, this sounds kind of, if you haven't done it, it may sound a little bit silly, and I can see that, but there's a real power in Twitter because you're developing followings of people who like the things you talk about, and they've generally looked at your bio, a quick little bio, and maybe they've looked at your website, and they've said, yeah, you know, I like the things Doc Lampton's talking about. I'm going to follow him. And so that's what creates this powerful marketing media for when you come back to the business case, because the people that are there already know, like, and trust you to an extent. At least they've gotten to know you a little bit. And so they're predisposed when you do send out something that's marketing-oriented to have a look, see at what you're saying.
Twitter, the cocktail party where you wander around, you meet a lot of people. Facebook, the pub, you're a little bit more informal. In fact, on Facebook, probably your photo might be more informal. Your language might be more informal. And there you possibly will show some vacation pictures or some travel pictures or something that sort of humanizes you, the business person who's also a real-life interesting being, right?
Exactly. And that's what you would do certainly more on your personal profile. And, you know, say that on your personal profile, which that's what most people have on Facebook, is what's called their personal profile, and you would share mostly your personal information. Some people will share some business information as well. And then you may want to, if you know that you're really going to be on Facebook predominantly to promote your business, you would want to set up what's called a business page. It used to be called a fan page. Now it's called a business page. And that's where you may still bring in some of the vacation photos or the family things just a little bit, but mostly you're going to be focused on whatever it is, the business that you're promoting.
Now, this is one thing that you said recently that I became keenly aware of, that a person who's very serious about business should have a Facebook business page as well as a personal page.
Well, exactly. I see Christina there has a business page, and it's a very good-looking page. Christina does a lot of things. She is a public figure. And so people might have heard of Christina, but they try to find her on Facebook. They don't want to ask her to be their friend because they don't know her. They don't know her personally. And a lot of people, you know, Twitter, it's really easy to follow people whether you know them or not. It's not such a relationship. Facebook is definitely more of a relationship. And if you don't know someone, you're not going to generally be bold enough to ask them to be your friend. And so you can't see the things about them. Or you can't interact with them the way that you would want to. However, for example, Christina has the business page. And so even though I don't have it formally met her, I'm very comfortable liking her page. And there I can really get a lot more information about her, and I can communicate with her as well.
So on the business page, you don't connect as a friend. You like the person. You like the page.
Exactly. Now, an important distinction is you can see what's going on the page, whether you like it or not. But to be able to post on it and to be able to interact more, you want to like the page.
Just as on the personal page, you have to be a friend before you can get all the interaction going.
Right. Depending on your privacy settings, people can see what's going on your personal profile. If you open it up, so to speak, if you set all the privacy settings to be totally public, which some business people do. But some people keep that rule closed down and keep that only for personal friends and acquaintances.
Gina, I've got to mention, I do not want to go the entire program without noting this because it's so essential for people who are listening to this program to know. I checked early this morning and found that you have more than 2,500 followers on Facebook. On Twitter, you have 15,250, and on LinkedIn, you have more than 1,000. Clearly, we need to pay attention to what you are saying because you're doing these things really well. Now, another comparison that you made that's worth explaining, and we can do this in 2 or 3 minutes before our half-hour break. You say the website that we have is like a standalone store on the interstate, while Facebook is like a kiosk in a mall. What's that all about?
Yeah, that's the analogy that just keeps coming home to me when I'm explaining to someone why they want to be on Facebook, and they tell me, oh, I have a website, I'm fine. Well, okay, a website's great. How are you getting people there? Well, you can spend money on print advertising. You can spend money on search engine optimization. You can spend money on pay-per-click ads. You can do some things. You can have it on your business cards and tell everybody you know. But the truth is, your website is, if you think about the North 40, you know, if you think about the proverbial North 40 where there used to be traffic and now nobody ever goes there anymore, and it's a standalone store out on a lonely highway, that's what a website is for the most part, when there's so many millions of websites out there. However, when you think about Facebook, that's where the people are already. Statistically, people are, you know, people, even adults, even people over 50, are spending hours and hours on Facebook every single day. And so that's where your people are. So you think about that. That's a really popular mall. And where my Facebook page is, it's like a kiosk. And so people are walking by or they happen to see something, you know, through the interaction on Facebook, the way they have it set up. It's real easy for, let's say that you like something on my page. It's easy for your friends to see that. And so then it's like you pulling someone out of the store and saying, hey, she's got something really cool over here. Come look at it. So it's real easy just to come over to the kiosk and take a look versus get in your car, go over to the other place. It's this real powerful analogy to keep in mind that you want to be where the people already are.
Well said. What we need to realize every day is that none of this is static. None of it is fixed. What's important, what's prominent today may not even be around tomorrow. I was laughing a few days ago, Gina, with a friend. I was telling them that when I first moved to Gainesville, Georgia in 1987, on one of the hotel's marquee, now this is something I think people will be amazed at looking at today's technology, but on one of the hotel's marquees, the hotel was boasting fax available. that was being so forward, so up to date, you know, that fax was available. Now we don't care if fax is available or not. We want wireless internet when we go even to the smallest, most remote hotel. Gina, we're going to take a brief break, and when we come back, We're going to have you say to us, you're such an expert on Facebook, we're going to have you give us your top five ways to generate a large Facebook following that you have done that will boost our business. Christina, please give us a station ID, and we'll take a couple of minutes break after that.
Listeners, thank you so much for tuning in this morning to the Communication Corner, broadcasted every Tuesday morning at 9 a.m. on WBCX 89.1 FM, The Voice of Brenau. Your host, as always this morning, is Dr. Bill Lambton. And in the Communication Corner, we talk about the topics you have been talking about the most. Dr. Bill brings in experts who give us vital information that help us professionally and personally. Today's guest is Gina Carr from Orlando, Florida, sharing her strategies for starting your business and for making an existing business flourish. Some great information about social media this morning. She is recognized widely for her business building expertise. The podcast of this interview will appear on Dr. Bill's blog, along with Gina Carr's contact information, as well as a photo of Bill and Gina. And the web address for that blog is thecompletecommunicator.com. Listeners, stick with us. We're going to take just a short break.
To contact WBCX, you can call 770-538-4744. Or you can visit us on the web via Facebook, Twitter, and our website at brenau.edu/WBCX.
Extraordinary Lives from Brenau University.
For 21 years, I've worked on a Trident nuclear submarine. It's been an amazing adventure. I've dipped my feet in the Mediterranean Sea. I helped fight and win the Cold War. I've lived nearly 4 years of my life deep underwater. Now at age 40, I'm coming up for air, retiring from the Navy and starting a whole new life in the business world. To smooth the transition, I earned an MBA from Brenau University. Brenau let me step out of my Navy comfort zone and interact with working adults from all backgrounds. I feel a new sense of curiosity and a great sense of confidence. People say you only have one life to live. Not true at all. Life starts all over again at Brenau University. Get ready to start your next life, the extraordinary life.
Now with two Atlanta campuses, Norcross and Fairburn, as well as Gainesville and online, register at gobrenau.com. That's GOBRENAU.com. Brenau University, extraordinary lives.
Senior Issues is a radio show devoted to promoting quality issues to help our seniors maintain or improve their quality of life. Also, the show could help those with seniors in their family be aware of the various issues that would affect both them and their loved ones. Showtime is 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. every Thursday, and yes, we are live. We will cover a wide range of subjects over the course of time. If you have a subject that you would like discussed, or if you know of an event that our listening audience should be aware of, call me at 770-380-9727. This is Charles White, Certified Senior Advisor. I hope that we can add you to our listening audience.
What would happen if you didn't follow the established path? Would you feel scared or proud? Could you explain that helping the people of Peru improve their own community would also have an effect on your own? Would you rather make your own way or spend a lifetime saying, "What if?" Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or go to peacecorps.gov.
Hi, I'm Gail Dunn, and I'd like to invite you to join me on Garage Gab every Wednesday morning at 9 a.m. On Garage Gab, we'll find a way to help you solve your car dilemmas and save you money. Again, that's 9 a.m. on Wednesday mornings here on The Voice of Brenau.
Welcome back to the second half of the Communication Corner. I'm your host, Dr. Bill Lambton. My gosh, it's amazing how 30 minutes flies by when you're getting information that can boost your business dramatically. As the information that Gina Carr has shared with us will do, all we have to do is apply it. Gina, just before the break, I ask you to be ready to give us your top five ways to generate a large Facebook following that will boost our business. What would those be?
Oh, boy. Well, there are a bunch. As you asked for five, let me outline those, and we can maybe dig into them a little bit deeper. But one of the basic things is to provide good information. You want to have videos, photos. You want to be talking about the things that are of interest to the people who, to your audience. So you want to provide valuable information there. And if you have good content, that's almost all you have to worry about. The people will come. It's a proverbial build it and they will come if you're providing good information.
I think what you said there is, I want to elaborate on just a second, Gina. And that is one thing you and I heard when we first went into the professional speaking business. It's not about us. It's about them. So if you go on Facebook and you talk constantly about all your accomplishments and all of your awards and the books that you've written and the places you've been published, I mean, you can sprinkle those in occasionally and people will want to keep up with what you're doing. But the focus must be on giving information, as you say, that's valuable to your listeners.
Yes, yes, that's incredibly important. And I know that you use video a lot, and obviously you're doing the audio files right now. You're doing the radio interview, and it's streaming. So you could have that on a, let's say, a Facebook page right now. You can have the download of it. You could have the transcript. You could have that sort of information. So I imagine when you get this, if and when you do a fan page based on the actual radio show that you're doing, that you'll have quite a number of people out there that are interested in that and that will want to take a look and hang out, follow you there.
Okay, moving along. The first point you say, give constant valuable information. What would be other ways to build our Facebook following?
Okay, another way is to ask questions. Again, keeping in mind what are the interests of your audience, you want to ask them questions, and you want to get them engaged. It's called engagement on Facebook. So you want to get them engaged in the discussion. And let's say that your target, as mine is, are small business owners or speakers. And so I will ask things that are relevant to those fields. What are the biggest challenges you're having? What are the biggest challenges? Be specific in your questions is better. What are the biggest challenges you're having regarding communicating with your team? So something like that. Ask questions is number two.
I noticed in the last day or two, Gina, you posed a survey on there.
Survey's a great thing to do, yes. People like to participate in surveys. There are a lot of little applications on Facebook that make those sorts of things easy. You have to dig around and find them, but you say, oh, I want to write a survey. You go to Facebook search bar. You type in survey application, survey app. And it'll pop up with some options that make it easy for you to do that.
But whether you're doing surveys or questions, you're generating feedback. That lets you know who's out there and who is willing to respond right now.
Exactly. And so that's part of the power of Facebook, is because there are so many people out there that are on it already. And then let's say someone does participate in my survey. Well, it's going to go on their wall. And so whoever happens to be looking at their wall right now will see that and will say, oh, what kind of survey is that? That looks pretty cool. And so they'd like to do that too.
So give information, ask questions, conduct surveys. What else?
Okay. My number three point will be compliment people. And if you think about social media, especially Facebook, as you're in a parade and you're throwing out parade candy. Yes, you're throwing out good news. You're complimenting people. You're sharing what they're doing. I've shared a number of times what's going on your radio show with my audience, because I know that's something that they'll be interested in as well. They're into communication, because a lot of my audience is speakers. So I will share many of the things that you're doing. And so I'm throwing parade candy to you. And I'm not expecting reciprocation in any way, but it's a nice thing to do. But by doing that, even though you know I'm not expecting reciprocation, you are likely to say nice things about me on your Facebook page, thus introducing me to your friends, and then that's building my tribe further.
Then one thing about those compliments, Gina, just like compliments in a professional office settings, they must be compliments that we really want to give. They must be compliments that can be believed.
Exactly. So that's, you know, you certainly need to be sincere, and you don't want to overwhelm your audience, but you could almost not, you know, it's hard to give too many compliments, I believe.
As long as you're sincere.
Exactly. So that brings me to point number four, which would be to tie in your comments with something that's timely. During the recent Charlie Sheen fiasco, I'm tying in with something that's timely, a celebrity. So something like that is generally going to get a lot more interaction. If you tie it in with a current movie or a big sports event, something that's already very much on the, you know, front pages of a lot of newspapers or headlined in a lot of radio shows or CNN news, something like that. When you tie in with something like that, a lot of people are already chatting about it at the water cooler. Well, this is the virtual water cooler.
Well, it's like Christina and I started talking this morning. I started the program talking about Memorial Day and what we did on Memorial Day. That's on people's minds, and people will be talking about that on the Internet today, too, won't they?
Right. So, you know, and over the weekend, a lot of people were posting, well, what are you doing this Memorial Day weekend? And a lot of people were posting what they were doing. And so even though I wasn't right there with them, I was able to see several of my friends and family members what they're doing, and I wouldn't necessarily have picked up the phone and called all of them. That takes a lot of time. But I can look real, I can bounce between their Facebook pages, and I can say, oh, that's really cool. Looks like you and the boys are having a lot of fun. And, you know, oh, that's really great that you guys got to go play golf or whatever it is. And so I'm part of their life. Like, you know, just virtually. But it's still important. I'm paying attention to them, and I'm seeing what they're doing.
Well, I learned several years ago, I mentioned Terry Brock earlier, when I started blogging, Terry said anytime you post a blog, it's very helpful if you do tie it into a current event. And that's true, as you say, with Facebook as well.
Exactly. So current events are very important. Current events are popular topics. So that's another thing that will help to build your presence on Facebook. And then finally, something that people don't think about because they're saying, well, you know, I'm just on Facebook and I'm doing Facebook, but you've got to tie your mediums together. You've got to tie your different marketing channels together. So if you are running print ads, you need to have a Facebook username. Christina has one, and that makes it a nice, short, easy way for you to put something like that on your print ads and into your radio show. You can say, you can go to, well, I'll just call out Christina's right here. Hope you don't mind, Christina. Facebook.com/Christina Rhodes page, KristinaRhoades page. And so you can go to her public page real easily. And let's see, Bill, I didn't notice if you have a username or not on your Facebook, but that's something that you just want to tie those in. You want to put it at the bottom of your emails, because email is a marketing medium. You want to put it in your print ads. You want to constantly call it out on your radio shows. Whatever it is that you're doing, you want to make that easy for people to connect the dots and do what I call integrated marketing. You want to integrate all these different channels.
Put those links on your business cards and your stationery as well.
Exactly.
Well, something else. We're going to get to LinkedIn in a minute or two, but one other recommendation you made to me not long ago that I think other people may not be aware of, as I was not. Tell us about Facebook Notes. What are Facebook Notes? What's the advantage of posting Facebook Notes rather than just the regular way of posting?
Well, I like Facebook Notes for several reasons. Number one, it gives me more room. And as you might have noticed in this interview, I can talk, so that probably means I can write. And I, you know, a basic post in Facebook is only 420 characters. So I like to go more in depth. And so Facebook Notes, I can post a much more in-depth post. I don't know if there is a limit. I've written some pretty long ones, and I know that you can really, you know, go on at details about, on the Facebook Notes. So there's no limit there. Number two is shelf life. This is real important because let's say that I made a really good 420-character post about something that's marketing related, or that I'm talking about, like right now, why I like Facebook Notes. For me to go back and find that in my wall, it's tough. Facebook, you know, does not have a good search feature for finding things like that. But I can easily go to my notes tab, scroll through my notes, which is essentially my blog. I do have a separate blog, but I really don't use it that much because I'm very focused on Facebook. So it's my blog. I can scroll through my blog post. I can open that particular note, grab that URL, and post it back on my page real easily. So I don't have to recreate the wheel. I studied industrial engineering at Georgia Tech, and there they teach you to be efficient. And so this is much more efficient way to have shelf life, save time, and just continue to build on something that you've already worked on. So those are some of the things that I really like about Facebook Notes.
We appreciate that explanation. We're going to have Christina tell us now not only where we are and who we're talking with today, but something about next week's guest.
First, I have to tell Gina I am enjoying this social media information so much. Gina, thank you. As you know, if you've been with us listeners from the start of the program, you're listening to WBCX 89.1 FM, The Voice of Brenau. You're in the communication corner with your host, Dr. Bill Lampton. And Dr. Bill's guest, Gina Carr, is sharing terrific business advice with us, and we'll continue doing so for the remaining of the hour. Next week, Dr. Bill features another business expert, Bo Henderson of Gainesville, Georgia. Dr. Bill has admired the progress Bo has made during the last several years as an entrepreneur, and he'll ask Bo Henderson about the major steps an entrepreneur has to take to succeed. So be with us next Tuesday at 9 a.m. for this conversation that could help you become a highly successful entrepreneur yourself. And now, back to Dr. Bill and Gina Carr.
And I would like to underscore that the podcast of this broadcast, this interview, will be on my blog later today. As Christina has said several times, that blog, thecompletecommunicator.com, and it will be on there permanently. I'm going to post on the social media the link to that specific page as soon as that page is up and running, and I will also give that to Gina so she can share that with her vast following in the social media. Gina, as we've talked about Facebook and as we've talked about Twitter, we've mentioned LinkedIn. We've got to get really serious now and talk about LinkedIn, because LinkedIn has such vast potential for helping people increase their business. It enables us to make multiple connections with high-level people. What should we do every day to take maximum advantage of our LinkedIn connections?
Okay, well, LinkedIn, as we discussed earlier, LinkedIn is more like the formal office environment, or you could think of it as more of a formal country club environment. You're a little more reserved there. You don't quite let your hair down as much. It's definitely a more formal place to exchange information. It's the least social of the social media. It's increasingly a bit more social, but it's certainly not like Facebook or Twitter, which are highly interactive and highly integrated. So in LinkedIn, the top things that you could do there, number one, you could make it a point to connect with someone that you're already connected with, send them a personal note, and inquire about what they're doing or chat about something that's of mutual interest to you. You can do a post there, similar to what you would do on Facebook or Twitter. You can do a daily post. You also can integrate all of your different social media so that things automatically come out there, but I don't really recommend that for LinkedIn, that you have things integrated from Facebook and Twitter there. So, but you can go there and do a post. I also recommend that you actively look for new people to connect with. So go through your little cards of an event that you attended, or just think about people. Well, I haven't, you know, it makes it best, easiest if you think about, okay, all these people from maybe my college or maybe this job that I used to work at. Let's look up those people who say they used to work at that same company and see if we can find them and connect with them. And then we'll probably go into this in a little more detail, but the most powerful place to hang around in LinkedIn or to spend time is in groups. So would you like me to head into the groups a little bit more?
How did you anticipate my next question? You did, yes, yes. Talk to us about how we select groups. What are the advantages of groups, joining them on LinkedIn? And what ways can we participate that will increase our visibility and get more people to link with us?
Okay, on LinkedIn groups, number one, you can find them by going up to the top right search bar. There's an option there to choose groups, and you can just start typing in things that are of interest to you. For example, let's say that you own a carpet cleaning business. You can start typing in carpet cleaners, carpet cleaning business, whatever sort of suppliers might be of interest to you. You can type that in and see, maybe there's a bunch of carpet cleaners out there that I can connect with on LinkedIn. I know that's kind of a strange example, but there are certainly, there's a group for almost everything. If there isn't, you can create it, which is beautiful. So you can find them by searching there. You can also find them by, let's say, look at your connections, people that you respect. Here's a good way to do it. Look at somebody who is maybe a few levels above you, or, you know, they've had a little bit more, let's just, in the measures of whatever area, whatever way you consider success, but they've maybe been a little more successful than you. And so you're going to look at them and look at to see what groups they might already belong to. And the groups that they belong to are going to be, they're going to show up at the bottom of the person's profile. So you can click on the groups. Most groups you can join without any type of permission. Some groups do require that you request permission to join, and some groups are only by invitation, you know, by invitation only. But let's say that it's a public group and you go there. So that's a place where you know the people there within all of your body of LinkedIn. You might have connections from a lot of different areas, your college, your previous employers, people you've done business with, people you are peers with. So this is a way to connect specifically, let's say, with those peers. Again, National Speakers Association, I've been very active with the last several years. So that is a group that I'm active with. I will go out there most every day to see, oh, did someone post an article? And I might post an article, or I might ask a question out there to see what people are thinking about a specific thing.
And when you ask a question, that gives you visibility in the group. In fact, it gives you sort of a momentary leadership of the group. Then those people who answer your question, all of a sudden, they're going to start trying to link with you if you haven't linked with them.
Exactly. Let's say that I posted something about LinkedIn to the speakers. You know, what's been your most effective method of using LinkedIn to obtain new speaking engagements? Oh, people generally like to comment on something like that, and they can learn from each other because they're sharing tips. And then I'm learning from them and communicating, and maybe I'm using that information to write a new blog post, to write a new article. And so I'm thanking them for that information. And, yes, many times I'll see somebody and I'll say, oh, I remember John from that, you know, where I met him. Or, oh, I haven't met John yet. Let's go over and see his profile and see if that's somebody I'd like to ask to connect with me.
I would imagine, knowing you, that you probably are in a Georgia Tech group and a Harvard Business School group.
Oh, yes. And those have been very good groups. It's really interesting. I have been reluctant to post in a sort of a promotional type opportunity out there, but on the rare occasions that I do, I've gotten great responses. And that's an important thing about groups as well. Typically, well, they're broken up into several different categories. Within a group, you have discussions. You have a discussions tab. You might have a job opportunity tab. You might have a promotions tab. In promotions tab, it is fine. Promote all you want. but certainly look to see what other people are doing and don't overdo it. In discussions, you really are supposed to ask questions, post articles that either you wrote or something of interest to the group, and very little promotion in the discussions, which is the main area of groups. So just be very sensitive to that, and you don't want to be ostracized by the group.
Also, don't forget your hobbies. Naturally, I'm on several that are connected with golf and some on college football. Those are two of my hobbies. You can make some wonderful connections through your hobbies.
Well, that's very true. And I talk about that Facebook and LinkedIn, if they're done right, it's very much like an office. And if you think about the old days when people had offices that you walked into, I say old days, I don't have an office now. I've worked from home for a few years now. But you would walk into their office and, you know, you're taught to look to see what they have on their wall. And people put things up on their wall to generate conversation. It's a conversation starter. It's a way for you to immediately see, okay, what do I have in common with this person? And so what is a basis that we could talk about? When you're in a group with people who are into golf, you know that that generally means a certain socioeconomic level. It frequently will mean that, let's just say, they have a certain amount of integrity. I know that's a big thing in golf. And that they're all, you know, constantly working on their swing and their golf game and finding new golf places, golf courses, and evaluating golf courses. So it gives you guys automatic fodder. You don't have to wonder, what can I talk to John about? You know what you can talk to John about.
Exactly. You had the rapport to start with. Gina, much to my absolute amazement, we are down now to our last 4 minutes. I want to ask a little bit about something non-business related, and that is, you have goals not only in your business, but you have a well-balanced life. I noticed that something that you mention among your personal goals, one of them is a sprint triathlon. What the heck is a sprint triathlon, and how far along are you with that?
Oh, boy. Sprint triathlon is a mini triathlon. It's not the Ironman that you see in Hawaii. It's more moderate distances, something that's relatively achievable by someone who is fit or who has been working on those things. So I am making some progress. I won't kid you. I'm certainly not where I want to be with that, but a little bit of biking, a little bit of swimming, and a little bit of running. And I love the biking and the swimming, and running is my big challenge. So I'm working on that every day. But I actually have attended the big triathlon they have there in September every year in Gainesville.
Ah.
And almost entered it 1 year, and got there. I was a little bit under the weather and couldn't quite participate, but I was registered. I think I have the T-shirt, and it's quite a good event. But if I have a quick second to throw in something else personally,
sure,
that's really important to me, the animals. I know Christina has her guide dog, and homeless animals are a big passion of mine. And my current organization that I'm supporting, that's doing a lot to change the way we look at animals, in particular homeless pets, is Green Pets America, and it's greenpetsamerica.com. You can find them on Facebook or on the website. But it just breaks my heart that every year almost 4 to 5 million healthy, adoptable dogs, cats, puppies, and kittens are killed in our animal shelters with our tax dollars because of a multifaceted problem. It's not just that there are too many. It's a multifaceted problem that groups like Green Pets America are trying to help people raise awareness. So I encourage you, don't breed or buy while homeless pets die. You know, if you are looking for a pet, a new family companion, please consider animal shelters and consider rescue groups. So I got to put in that plug.
Gina Carr, people are going to find out much more about you on my blog. This has been a most valuable, most informative time with you. I'm not going to call it an interview so much as a conversation. It has been great to have you with us, and we thank you for sharing your expertise with us. We're very grateful.
Well, thank you so much, Bill and Christina. I've really enjoyed it. And, yes, I know you're going to put this on the on your blog, but GinaCarr.com, GinaCarr.com, will take you to my Facebook page where you'll see a lot of these things that I've been we've been talking about, including the interview with Bill about tribes and Christina, a link to Christina's Facebook page. So I've enjoyed it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. This is Dr. Bill Lampton, host of the Communication Corner on WBCX 89.1 FM, broadcasting every Tuesday morning, rebroadcasted Thursday mornings. And my guest this next Tuesday will be Bo Henderson, an entrepreneur. You'll certainly want to hear wonderful business building tips from him, just as we have from Gina Carr. Remember to keep tuning into the Communication Corner, where we talk about the things that you have been talking about. I'm Dr. Bill Lampton.